Psalm 119, beginning in verse number 97. Psalm 119, beginning in verse number 97. We are looking at Psalm 119, which I think is the Bible's commentary on itself. It is the Word of God teaching us about the Word of God. And so we are taking this by stanzas. There are 22 of them, 8 verses each, stanza beginning with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and we are down to verse 97. Listen to what the psalmist says. Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are the words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. All God's people said, amen. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. I pray, God, that you would use it to excite in us a desire and a love for your word, knowing that there are great truths and great things to learn and great benefits and helps by our being in your word. Help us to love it and to desire it and to use it for every situation, every day. We love you, we thank you, in Christ's name, amen. Well, my aim in this series is not to try to guilt you into reading the Bible, nor do I want to try to shame you into reading the Bible. I think that's done quite enough in churches across the land, trying to guilt and to shame people into reading the Bible. And I don't think those tactics work. I also don't want to go to the other extreme and not exhort you at all to read the Bible, because I think not exhorting you or not encouraging you to read the Bible would be just as bad as trying to guilt you or shame you into reading it. So what I decided to do was preach Psalm 119, and what this psalm does, it explains what the Word of God is to the believer, how the believer is to respond to the Word, and why we should, as believers, be passionate about the Word. And I thought, you have every right in the world not to listen to a thing I say, but you have no right not to listen to God. Amen. So let me try to walk through these verses here tonight and give you six things quickly. Number one, notice the affection for the Word of God. The affection for the Word of God. Oh, how love I thy law! Exclamation point. It is my meditation all the day. So we see here the psalmist's expression of his affection. The expression of his affection. He begins this particular stanza with an initial declaration of his love for the Word. Now, you understand that is a mark of a healthy believer. A good love for God's Word is a mark of a healthy believer. And he says here that his feeling toward the Word is a feeling of love. And I just thought, you know, the Word is a friend at all times. And it is a friend that the psalmist loves. Here is a declaration or an expression of his affection toward the Word of God. Not just toward God, but also toward God's Word. Oh, how love I thy law. Amen? Do we have that affection for the Word? But notice not only his expression of his affection, but notice the evidence of his affection. Now, how many of you would agree that it's one thing to express your affection, it's quite another thing to show the evidence of your affection? It's one thing to say it, it's one thing to actually show it. And to show your affection for that which you love, you typically spend time and energy and effort on those things you love, right? So the psalmist says that the Word in which he has declared his love for is his meditation all the day. He studies the Word. He thinks upon the Word. He reads the Word. He mulls over the Word. And he does that all day, and the implication is every day. Every day, all day, he is meditating on the Word of God. The Word of God is the focus of the psalmist. He is consumed with that which he loves. I remember when Denise and I were dating, we talked. This is pre-cell phone, right? This is land phone, rotary dial. Land phones, right? And I can remember, you didn't want to be the last one to hang up. So you say, okay, now I'm hanging up now. Bye. Deceive, right? You just couldn't get enough of one another, right? Isn't that the love that we should have for the Word of God? We just can't get enough of it. And that's what he says here. It is my meditation all the day, every single day. His affection for the Word of God. And then secondly, notice the application of the Word of God. Verse number 98. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. Now, here we see the wisdom that God brings to the psalmist, and he brings this wisdom through the Word of God. Now, what is wisdom? What does wisdom mean? Well, it means skilled living. It means applying what you learn to everyday life. It's putting truth into practice. Now, Brother Ken said it well this morning during Sunday school class. The Bible, not applied, doesn't do anyone any good. There needs to be the application or the wisdom that comes from the Word of God, which is the application of the Word. Notice here the comparison that the psalmist makes. He says that through his study of the Word of God, he is wiser than his enemies. In other words, he has put the Word of God to application. He has made the Word of God part of his life. He has put this truth into practice in his life. Wisdom. His enemies seem to be filled with the wisdom of the world, or the wisdom of themselves. But the psalmist is able to apply what he has discovered to be true in the Word of God. And that's what we're supposed to do, right? When we discover truth, we are to put it to practice. He did this, and his enemies had not, right? Because they weren't reading the Word of God at all. So in comparison to his enemies, he may be the one being persecuted. He may be the one going through the afflictions. But by reading and staying in the Word of God, he has made his life wiser than those of his enemies. Notice the continuance. Now the question here for scholars is, the latter part of this verse, is it speaking that the commandments are ever with the psalmist, or his enemies are ever with the psalmist? It reads this way: Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they, what's they? Who? What's that pronoun referring back to? Commandments are enemies, for they are ever with me. Well, English would demand that the pronoun they refer to the nearest noun, enemies. And I think that's true. He says, I'm wiser than my enemies because they are forever tormenting me. They are forever persecuting me. They are forever bringing affliction upon me. How does he know that he's wiser? How does he know that he has put the Word of God to application and his enemies have not? Because they're still persecuting him. They're still bringing affliction upon him. They're still driving him crazy. They have not read the Word of God, because if they had read the Word of God and understood the Word of God, they would see how wrong their persecution of him really was. So the psalmist here is suffering affliction, but he's committed to doing the right thing. He's committed to making sure that what he discovers in Scripture becomes a part of his life. And they may look like they're on top now, but he is the more wise one of the two. Amen? Notice number three, the attainment of the Word of God. Verse number 99, he says, not only is he wiser than his enemies, but he says he has more understanding than all of his teachers. For thy testimonies are my meditation. So he has attained from the Word understanding that has surpassed the knowledge of his teachers. Is that right? Now, notice his insight. It is true that we can gain great education from the best educational institutions that our country has to provide for us. And good Hillary is going to make sure that everybody that wants a better education can get one absolutely free. We don't know who's going to pay for that, but we'll worry about that later. Amen? But we can. We have the opportunity to get good education. All of those educations are going to be from the vantage point of man, right? From the wisdom of man. We can gain an earthly insight from earthly teachers. But only the Word of God can give you the insight of God. Let me say that the insight of God, or learning from the insight of God, is always going to be a deeper and better insight into things that pertain to our life than earthly teachers could ever, ever teach us. Amen? Anytime you remove the Word of God from education, you diminish the insight of that particular education. Because while we get a good earthly insight, without God, without the Bible, we don't have the heavenly or the divine insight. And I'm telling you, God knows more than every professor in every college put together. So he says here, and the reason that he can say this is, he's talking about his reading the Word of God, learning from the Word of God, and comparing himself to his earthly teachers. He says, I understand more than they do because I have sat under and learned from God's Word Himself. But notice here not only His insight, but His importance. Teachers can teach you English. Teachers can teach you mathematics. I can do some mathematics up to a point. Amen? I never could figure out when they started putting letters with the numbers. You're mixing English with math now, that's gone too far. Teachers can teach you science, history. many other academic fields. But can we agree tonight that it is in the Bible in which we gain the most important education? Now, I'm not trying to diminish education. I'm not trying to diminish English, mathematics, science, and history. Those things are important, but they are not the most important education that we receive. It is in the Bible, and only in the Bible, that we are taught about God and we are taught about ourselves. We are taught about God's provision for us and our desperate need for that provision in Christ. You see, in the Bible, we get a spiritual education that no earthly means can give us. Say amen. If we are taught man's insight and then we meditate on God's insight, we have more understanding than if we just received man's insight. Amen? So earthly education is important, but not at the expense of a spiritual education from the Word of God. When you put them both together, then you can truly say, as a student meditating on the Word of God, I have more understanding of life than a professor has who has a PhD that does not even believe there is a God. Amen? So we see here the attainment of the Word of God. It gives us a very important and needed insight and education into the things that are vitally, vitally essential. Number four, the authority of the Word of God. Verse number 100. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. Are you listening? Age, gray hair, wrinkles, aches and pains. I have to tell you this. I have gotten to the point that I don't have to do anything to hurt myself. It used to be a good hard day's work would put me down. Now if I just turn the wrong way, I'm hurt. Amen? How many are like that? Just turn out of the shower the wrong way and we're, oh! All right. Glad to know I'm not alone. Age is no guarantee of knowledge. And it's no guarantee of understanding. Just because people have a certain number of years under their belt doesn't mean they have understanding or knowledge of God. So he says here, I think he is a young psalmist, I have more understanding than the ancients or the elders or the older folks. So here's what I want to say. The Word has authority, because that's where he learned more than the ancients, right, from the Word. The Word has more authority, or has authority over experience. Now, there is an old adage that maybe you think's in the Bible. It's not, right? Cleanliness is next to godliness is not in the Bible. Neither is God helps those who help themselves. It's not in there either. And neither is experience is the best teacher. That's not in the Bible either. It's not in the Bible and it's not biblical. It runs counter to what the psalmist says here. He is saying that he has more understanding of life and the things of life and the world than those who have experienced the things in the world. Experience by itself is no indication of knowledge or understanding. How many of you have seen people who have experienced things and they keep on doing the same dumb thing over and over and over again? They haven't learned a thing, right? You see, it is in the study of Scripture that this psalmist has seen the truth of what the Bible says. And whether experience bears it out or not, he has learned the truth. Say amen. And I've got this sneaking suspicion that the God that made the world and fashioned the world and made you and made me probably knows about the world and the things of the world and about humanity far more than anyone else knows. I can probably learn more from God than anyone else. The Word is true. And experiences can either substantiate the Word, but it cannot refute the Word. We cannot say the Bible is not true there because my experience is not what the Bible says. No, experience cannot refute the Word. It can only substantiate the Word. But if we have no experience, the Word of God is true. The older and the more experienced people do not necessarily equal better, fuller, deeper understanding. And as I said, there's a lot of folks that you talk to that have experienced a lot of things and they keep doing the same thing over and over again. The Word's authority over experience. Even though these older folks have experienced many things, he says, I understand more than they. Why? Because he has been studying his scriptures. He has got his education from the Lord. But notice also the Word's authority over examination. The reason he says here that he has more understanding than those who are experienced is because he keeps the Word. Do you see that? He says, I understand more than the ancients because I keep the precepts. I keep the Word. He doesn't just read the Word and study the Word, meditate on the Word. He actually does what the Word says. He keeps the Word. Now, you know as well as I do, there are some who examine the Word, and there are some who will debate the Word, and there's some that will argue the Word, and then they don't keep the Word. Listen, if you don't keep the Word, you don't understand the Word. No matter how much you examine it, how much you argue about it, how much you debate it, if it don't become applied in your life, you don't understand it. Say amen. Now listen, we talk to people here at the church. Their life is full of sin. They're living in sin, and yet they tell me they love the Lord. They love God. And they believe the Bible. And I ask them, how can you love the Lord and believe the Bible when you're living in sin? Apparently, you don't understand the Bible. Right? We can look at the Bible, study the Bible, read the Bible, but if we don't apply the Bible, then we just simply don't understand the Word, right? The psalmist says, I understand more than the ancients because I keep precepts. Number 5, verses 101 and 102 together. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. Number 5 is the abstaining of the word. The psalmist says here that by reading and studying and meditating on the Word of God, the Word of God has helped him refrain his feet from every evil way. Can you believe that? That the more exposure you have to the Word of God, the more likely your feet are to be refrained from evil. Now, there's an old saying that I think is true. It's not in the Bible, but I think it's true. You've all heard it a million times. The Bible will either keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. That's what he's saying here. Notice the communication of the Word. It is not man that determines what is right or wrong. Can we say amen? The church does not determine what's right or wrong. The church doesn't determine the length of the skirt, right? Or the number of markings you can have on your body, or the length of your hair, the color of your shirt. Somebody help me. We don't determine what's right or wrong. Notice what he says. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. It is the word of God that determines what's right or wrong. It's the word of God that determines what's good and what's bad. Not me, not you, not the church. Say amen. Not the government. The government has determined some things are good that aren't good. I don't care what the Supreme Court says. Abortion is wrong. I don't care what the Supreme Court says. Same-sex marriage is wrong. Somebody help me. They can say it's right all they want to. They don't determine what's right or wrong. God determines what's right or wrong. And it's in the Word of God. As we read the Word, we discover what God says is good and what God says is evil. We find out what we should do and what we should not do. The Bible communicates these truths, not men. Say amen. So as we read the Bible, we find out what God deems to be good, what God deems to be bad, and then we react appropriately. Notice not only the communication of the Word, but notice the conflict of the Word. Here's the truth. The more you truly read, study, meditate on the Word of God, the more you must depart from sin if you're going to keep it. Now remember what I said? If we don't keep the Word, we don't understand the Word. Say amen. But if I am going to keep the Word, I've got to depart from the sin in my life. And to sin, you've got to depart from the Word. Is that true? If I am going to keep the Word, I have to depart from sin. If I am going to depart from the Word, I have to do that if I'm going to sin. If we are going to not depart from the Word, we won't refrain from evil. Say amen. It will take the Word of God working in and through me to cause my feet to refrain from the evil that God says is evil. We have been far too long trying to please people, impress people, and doing what people think we should be doing instead of looking through the Word of God and seeing what God says we should be doing. The only way to truly keep the Word is to refrain from the evil that the Word identifies. Amen? That's why every single offense has to be founded in the Word. Amen? Notice number 6, the appetite for the Word of God, and we're finished. Verses 103 and verses 104. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Is this true? The more you discover what is truly good, the more that builds an appetite to have it again. Right? I don't even have to. See, all you have to do is mention we stopped by Krispy Kreme. You see, I've had Krispy Kreme. And Krispy Kreme hot now just produces in me a desire to have more. Say amen. When you have something good, now I don't crave broccoli. Not at all. I don't ever wake up in the middle of the night saying, boy, I'll tell you what, I'd like to have a big old bowl of broccoli. But I have woke up in the middle of the night saying, boy, I wish I had me about 12 dozen hot now donuts. Right? Look what he says. He says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste. They are sweeter than honey to my mouth. You see, the appeal of the Word is that the psalmist does not say this. The psalmist does not say that he has tried reading the Word, he's tried studying the Word, he's tried meditating on the Word, and every time that he's tried it, it's bitter or foul tasting. But he just holds his nose and reads it anyway. That's almost what we tell people, isn't it? You should be reading the Bible. If you say you're saved, you should be reading the Bible. Hold your nose and read it if it stinks or tastes bad. We can't do that. The psalmist says he's not trying to get through some foul-tasting bowl of broccoli. He says these are like hot and now crispy cream donuts. Right? They are sweet. The words of God are sweet. They taste great. They are delicious. Matter of fact, he says, they're sweeter, the words of God are sweeter than anything he has physically ever eaten before. They're sweeter than honey. Listen, for a true child of God, there's nothing more satisfying than the Word of God. It is good. And because it is so good, he keeps coming back for more and more and more. Because anytime you read the Bible, it's good. It's sweet. I have never went to the Bible and found it to be bitter and foul-tasting. It's not like we're trying to shove some sort of bad-tasting medicine down somebody's throat. It's good for you. Hush and take it. No. The Bible's sweet. The Bible's good. The Bible's delicious. The Bible's satisfying. It is sweeter than honey from the comb. Right? That is the appeal of the Word of God. Didn't have to make him read it. He got great satisfaction from reading the Word of God. And then notice lastly the acknowledgement. Meditating on the Word of God, studying the Word of God, reading the Word of God produces in us a shrewdness or a discernment. In other words, the world has a lot of things that you can digest. The world tries to shove a lot of things down our throats. Say amen. The world wants us to be undiscerning in our taste. It wants us to tolerate. Say amen. So things may not taste as good as the Word, but we'll tolerate it anyway. But the psalmist says this. He says that he eats the Word of God, and as he eats the sweetness of the Word of God, he begins to hate everything that is offered to him other than the Word of God. Do you know who are tolerant? People that are tolerant are not in the Word of God. The Word of God does not produce in us a tolerance for evil. It produces in us an intolerance. He says, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Can I say this? I hate false doctrine. I hate it. Why do you hate it? Because I've read enough of the Bible to know what true doctrine is. Is that what the psalmist says? I hate every false way. I hate false doctrine. I hate preaching that does not emphasize God in Christ. I hate preaching that emphasizes humanness. I hate preachers that... I don't hate preachers. I hate doctrine, or I hate... preaching, let me say that. I hate preaching that plays loose and free with the Word. I absolutely hated with a passion. Haven't heard that in a long time. That just came back. My grandmother used to say that. I hate that with a passion. Amen? We ought to hate some things with a passion. Right? Because we're discerning enough to know what's right and what's wrong, because we've been in the Bible enough to know that. Listen, there is one way, God's way. Is that right? There's not 6 ways, 7 ways, 100 ways. There's not God's way and your way. If you're not God's way, you're the wrong way. If you're not preaching the right gospel, Paul said, let you be accursed. There's one gospel that we should be preaching and teaching, right? And we should hate everything that's not that. I absolutely hate that 45,000 people crowd into a former basketball arena and hear the nonsense that Joel Osteen dishes out. I hate it. Why? Because he says nothing scriptural. Nothing. What happens when you study the Word is that you begin to love what God loves and you begin to hate what God hates. Right? The Spirit of God, with the tool of the Word of God, does these things in your life. Amen? And these things are good. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your Word. Pray that you would use it tonight to speak to us, to encourage us, to produce in us a desire for the Word, and that we would see these tremendous blessings and benefits of understanding and wisdom and knowledge through our studies that work their way into doing and not just hearing, and applying, not just learning. So help us, speak to us, and use us for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.